Hey, Jim.
Yeah, Todd, what's up?
You ready? It's time to start.
Time to start what?
The podcast, bro. Talk the podcast.
Oh, jeez. Wait, you still wanted to do that?
Yeah, let's do it. Come on. Season two.
From Studio 142, you're listening to Talk the Podcast with Todd and Jim.
All right, here we are. Season two, episode one. It's been a bit of a break, but We're now in two different states. We're multi-state, multinational.
Yeah, we're
not quite multinational.
We're across the country now.
We are all the way across the country, and season two is about to start. It's gonna be a blast. It's gonna be a great season.
Hey, I've been excited. I've been wanting this for a long time, and I know we have a lot of listeners that have been just sitting on the edge of their seats. I don't know that they've been able to even like think about anything else.
Bro, if I go outside on my porch late at night and I just listen close, I can hear our fans crying. You know, it's faint, but it's like, you know, on certain nights when the moon is full, I can hear our fans.
I understand.
Sadly.
It's a
pining for another.
The struggle is real.
Now, All but about nine people in the world probably don't know this because only nine people watch the video. But on our YouTube channel, we actually did release an episode a while back, but it never made it to the audio podcast. Library, and we decided it never will. I think it's a good episode, but we're not going to try to deal with putting it on there. So there's this lost episode on YouTube.
It's a bootleg episode. We'll put it out someday.
Yeah, you guys want to go if you need more talk the podcast, because we talk about Macaulay Culkin and I can't remember what else. But there was a bunch of stuff going on.
It's an entire episode about Macaulay Culkin.
It was the Macaulay Culkin episode. We looked at his house. It was weird.
No, that is an extremely hot topic these days,
right?
And most people are talking about the election and about AI, but we were talking about Macaulay Culkin.
Man.
That's where it's at. That's where it's at. Tato, yeah. What's been going on?
Nothing, man. Just stuff. Just this life, you know. You left us here in our hometown. Moved to South Carolina.
Try again. Did not move to South Carolina.
North Carolina.
Did not move to North Carolina.
Georgia.
There you go. Move to Georgia.
It's all the same.
It is. It's all the same.
Some island. You're on some island in the south.
Yeah, it has. Right. It's been interesting for sure. I miss you guys a lot. It's been a weird couple of months. For those of you that don't know, what Todd's talking about is I took a job at a private school as a dean of students in Southeast Georgia, right on the coast, right near the ocean. And my wife and son and I, and we moved down here in June. It was a really, really difficult move. We had a lot of things go wrong, wound up putting us in Airbnbs for about 6 weeks, burned through a lot of money, and it just was a struggle from beginning to end. And so we finally got into our house around mid-July. And anyway, we're trying to make a life here. It's been a little different. It's been a little isolated. We've kind of gone back and forth on whether or not we think it was a good idea, but it is beautiful here. Spanish moss, live oak tree, Spanish moss. That'll be easy for me to say.
Moths.
Live oaks, ocean, beaches, warm weather. There could, you know, it's like I talk to my family and I tell them occasionally, you know, I'm dealing with some homesickness, and then they see the landscape behind me on the video call and they're like, yeah, we feel real bad for you with those palm trees there. So
yeah. Oh yeah.
It's a tough life, man. Tough life.
So you got moths that like fly around, and they come up to you and they go, hola, como estás? Muy bien.
Yeah. Although I said moss, M-O-S-S.
Oh, not Spanish moths. I like, my bad.
Yes, that's okay. The moss does, however, often ask me how I'm doing in Spanish. So,
right? Yeah. Hola.
Just not the moths.
The moths are English moths.
Yeah, so.
Top of the morning to you, governor.
Yeah, without a doubt. But I'm loving my new job. It's a good place to be, and we'll take it one day at a time. How about you? What's been going on in your life?
Nothing. Got girls everywhere. One's back starting her senior year at UT. Just went and saw our first game of the season Saturday. Almost melted. Literally almost melted, like right there in the stadium. People were falling out. It was hot.
Hot.
And we had no shade. But we won. Barely, 69-3.
Barely so squeaked by.
Nail biter, yeah. Going to have a good team this year. So, yeah, and it's Labor Day. We're recording this on Labor Day,
happy,
2024.
Happy Labor Day, everybody. So
happy Labor Day. Go get to work.
Get to work. It's a little break from the labor. Tell me, man. So it's been a minute. Here we are, season one, episode two, and I've got a topic for us to discuss today.
All right. Cool. I just so the fans know, we're going to keep this. Pretty much same format. We're just going to continue to bring in, you know, more of the fun stuff, quizzes. I don't know. I like the weird news type of thing, and the topics.
Yeah.
So Jim has a topic.
Yeah.
Go ahead and reveal the topic, Jim.
Well, how about this? Before I reveal our topic, I think that there is a segment that our fans have been clamoring for the most, missing the most.
You know it.
You know it. I know it. You know it. And I think it's time for...
They know it.
Tiddlady Tidbites.
That was terrible. Our first remote Tiddlady Tidbite did not go over that well.
I'll line it up better. How's that?
We'll fix it in post.
Exactly. All right. So I brought a tidbite. Do you have a tidbite today?
No. Let's hear your tidbite.
All right. So
maybe it'll inspire me to have a tidbite.
Maybe it will inspire you. So last week I was reading the news and I came across an article, and the article's title was "The Third Most Disappointing U.S. Tourist Attraction," which I have to admit, even though it was kind of clickbait, I couldn't help but click on that one. It just was too too interesting of a title. Anyways, it took me to an article that was talking about a tourist attraction that's actually not too far from where you are there in Nashville, Tennessee. And that tourist attraction is Mammoth Cave National Park in Kentucky.
I've been there.
You've been there. Well, according to a list that was put out, I guess, by some sort of sports betting website. I had a hard time finding the master list, but I did find the top three least or most disappointing tourist attractions. I'll reveal what number two and number one were in a moment, but let's stick with number three here.
Okay.
The article focused on Mammoth Cave, but the reason that Mammoth Cave was in this article was because apparently the management of that national park turned its negative press into a wonderful advertising opportunity. And so they've been putting out this ad campaign that's sort of capitalizing on the press from the article. And so they're putting out things like, "Come experience what has disappointed millions of people for over 225 years. And it goes on to say, like, "While we think the world's longest cave system and over 4,000 years of human history is amazing, others find that the cave is, quote, very dark. And there is, quote, nothing cool to see here." So I love the fact that they jumped on this and found
a way
to spin
it.
They completely owned it.
Yeah.
You can be disappointed by a dry hole with very few stalagmites, or discover nothing other than trees on over 80 plus miles of hiking, biking, horseback riding, and water trails. I thought that was funny. So a world of regret awaits you at Mammoth Cave. So what was your experience at Mammoth Cave? You said you've been there.
It's been a million years. I like caves. I don't remember being bored or being disappointed. I think caves are really cool.
I don't know what people expect these days. I think it's just crazy.
I feel like we may be a little bit spoiled.
A little bit. Just a tiny bit.
Just a little.
Hey, can you shoot a guess as to number two and number one most disappointing United States tourist attractions?
Would it be Mount Rushmore?
You know, I would have probably guessed that myself. However, no. Number two is a tourist attraction that I'm actually pretty familiar with. It's the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland, Ohio, which is interesting because I'm from Cleveland, and I know it's a real point of pride for Clevelanders to have that Hall of Fame there. But I can be completely honest with you. Years and years and years ago when it first opened up and I was there, have you ever been to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
No.
Have you ever been to a Hard Rock Cafe?
No.
You've never been to a Hard Rock?
I don't think
no.
so.
Well, it's funny.
No.
Do you know what a Hard Rock Cafe is?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
For sure.
It's just a basic restaurant with like music memorabilia hanging on the walls, right?
Right.
I used to tell people that the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is like the Hard Rock Cafe without food. But lamer, like it's just this massive building that's underutilized, these humongous spaces with like four guitars on the wall and like Elvis Presley's t-shirt. It was just, to me as a musician even, and I love music, I love rock and roll, I love Cleveland, but I found the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame to be really, really boring, And then the number one most disappointing U.S. attraction, the Kennedy Space Center.
Okay.
Which is interesting. I don't know why. I've never been to the Kennedy Space Center. Maybe, I don't know what makes it the number one most disappointing, but I would imagine it's probably super exciting when, you know, do they launch rockets from the Kennedy Space Center, or is that where they like do the command and the launch is somewhere else?
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure people are going there thinking they're going to get some really cool NASA stuff.
And then it falls away.
Yeah. Wow. And then it's like, wow, that sucked.
I guess. I know one of the things on my, I don't like the term bucket list, but I'll use it here. I would love to see a rocket launch, you know, like from a distance. But, you know, when I see these videos.
Oh, you don't want to be really close?
Well, I'd like to be across the water, like watching one of these SpaceX, you know, SpaceX rockets go up at, or come down. Have you ever seen the videos where they come down nowadays and they like land?
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty
cool. It's pretty cool. I'd like to see that. You know, it almost looks fake when you see them on video.
Yeah, like, no, that's just, they played it in reverse.
Right,
but
right.
No.
Yeah, anyway, rocketry. It's, I know there's a lot of varying opinions about its value and the people that do it, but I, for one, love science. I love technology. I love the idea of space travel and Star Trek and Star Wars. And so I always kind of like, I get a kick out of that stuff. All right. Well, I actually did come to this first episode of our second season with kind of an idea of what we can talk about. I was giving some thought to, you and I really have over the time that we've been together, we enjoy, whether it's movies, TV shows, books, we like entertainment, we like stories, we like good stories, good acting, good characters. And I figured maybe we could find a topic here in our first episode that is a little lighthearted, not quite so heavy, and kind of go back to our wheelhouse. And so I was going to suggest that maybe we talk about a very specific kind of story that pops up in all different types of genres. And that story is the coming of age story.
Heck yeah, that's how I got older. I watched coming of age stories.
Absolutely.
And I grew up.
And you had your own coming of age.
Yeah.
So you can relate. In your opinion, what defines a story as a coming of age story?
No, it's funny you say that because I think there are lots of different definitions. I think the general definition would be, you know, a story about a kid or a group of kids experiencing some sort of situation, whether it be that is either shocking or something that, you know, that they have to experience for the first time and brings them closer to adulthood. That can mean a lot of things to a lot of people. I see a lot of coming of age stories where they're more sexual in nature, you know, but then there's also ones that are, when you first said it, and I think you were going to ask me what some of mine are, I'm just going to tell you the first movie that popped into my head. You want to take a guess what the first movie that popped into my head when you said coming of age stories?
Boy, you know, I've got a...
Being a Midwestern boy.
I would think Stand By Me.
You got it, buddy. It's the first thing I thought of. You know, we're going to go see a dead body, you know, and they did.
It's one of the... I've got it on my list as one of my all-time favorite coming-of-age stories that's ever been written and then made into a movie. It's an absolutely awesome movie. It stands the test of time, and it is... they're going to see a dead body. Like you said, it kind of incorporates that kind of life-changing experience that these kids go through together. But there's a lot going on in the background of those characters' lives that they have to work through, whether, you know, the one kid has the abusive father, the one kid just seems like he's...
Corey.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just such a great story.
There's so much going on.
I cannot say enough about that. So well done on right out the gate. You kind of grabbed hold of lightning right there for sure.
Sorry.
No.
Yeah. And you got, and you look at that crew, that cast. I mean, River Phoenix, who passed away from drug use, was wonderful.
Yep.
He was going to be a great, he was a great actor in his own right. You know, and then the kid, you know, that's Corey Haim, I believe, right? That was
that's Corey Feldman. Corey Feldman.
Not the that's the other Corey.
Yep.
You got Kiefer Sutherland being the bully jerk.
Yep.
You know, and it's a Stephen King film, which you know, it's one of his. No one, well, I'm sure everyone knows if they know the movie, but it's, you know, you think Stephen King, you don't think that.
Yeah. Oh, it's based on like a short story by Stephen King. It's actually Rob Reiner made the movie, which is is it Rob Reiner? Yeah, I think it's Rob Reiner. Did Spielberg have anything to do with this movie at all?
I don't know. Let me look.
I'm not sure. But, you know, a couple other members of the cast you left out. Will Wheaton, who was one of the main characters. He was the boy that was best friends with River Phoenix. He went on to be Wesley Crusher in Star Trek The Next Generation. And then he was also in, he had a recurring role in Big Bang Theory. And then there was also Jerry O'Connell, who was kind of the overweight character in the movie, who, if you look him up as an adult, you'll recognize him. He's been in a ton of stuff, but he definitely grew out of his sort of baby fat and into an adult body. But what an amazing cast. Yeah. Did Spielberg have anything to do with it? Did you look it up?
No, it was directed by Rob Reiner.
Yeah.
And then you got, you know, you got the writer, the guy that was writing the whole thing. It was Richard Dreyfuss, you know.
I love it.
He was in it.
Yeah, he was the grown-up version of Will Wheaton's character. Yeah.
I wonder how many people have sung that song, Stand By Me, because of the movie.
It's just a great song. It's one of my favorite songs of all time. Coming of age movies. It's funny. I think your definition is for the most part, I agree with. I do think that the experience that you describe can be something more, like it can be something very, average or normal. Like, for example, one of my favorite coming of age movies of all time, and it's sort of just a teenage silly movie, but I think there is real meaning and depth behind it. It's Dazed and Confused. And really all it is one day, it's the first day of summer vacation in 1976, and it's one kid moving from middle school to high school, and a group of juniors moving into their senior year. And it captures just this one night of their lives. And there's a lot of hijinks and a lot of just silliness. But it's a slice of life that I think really, really captures something special. And when you look past the kind of like the hijinks and silliness, there's a much deeper theme there. And it always moves me. It always makes me very, it makes me long for being young again. There's a lot there. There's one scene. There's a lot of scenes in that movie, but there's one scene that movie does better than I think any other movie I've ever seen. And you're going to laugh, but in your whole life, have you ever, Todd's a great guy, but occasionally, you know, I think every adult can say at least once in our lives, we've probably had too much to drink and maybe gotten just a little bit lightheaded, a little bit buzzed, however you want to call it. Right. You can relate to that feeling, what it feels like. Well, there's a scene in the movie where the young man who sort of plays the protagonist of the whole thing, the young man moving into high school, where he goes to a party with a bunch of like upperclassmen and they buy him beer and he kind of gets drunk. And there's just this one scene where he's walking through the crowd of kids, and just the way they filmed it with the camera work, to me, it really does sort of capture how you feel, especially when you have that first moment where you kind of like drink some beer or something. And he's just sort of weaving through the crowd and it's kind of hard to focus on anything. They just sort of nail it. And so Dazed and Confused, definitely one of my favorite coming of age movies that's ever been made.
Well, that's what I love about these high school girls, man. I get older.
they stay the same age. Yeah, one of the most quotable movies of all time as well, for sure.
I actually haven't seen the film besides pieces. I've never sat and watched the whole thing. I guess I'll have to. But you talked about a whole night of their lives. Let's condense it down to about 8 hours on a Saturday and talk about what I consider probably the greatest coming of age movie of all time. As you're spending some time in detention with a bunch of people you don't like. Only to come to know that, you know, y'all don't have that much, you know, that different about each other anyway.
Yeah.
You might even like the girl that looks like the creepy chick.
What movie could you possibly be talking about?
Oh, I was just... No movie. I was just talking. No. Does Barry Manilow know that you raid his wardrobes? Talking about movies where you can steal quotes.
It's...
I'll give you the answer to that, Mr. Bender.
Next Saturday. Next week. Yeah, it's...
Breakfast Club, of
the
course.
The Breakfast Club. Yeah. I would have a hard time arguing with you. I also agree. I think it is the number one coming-of-age movie that's ever been made. And John Hughes, absolute genius.
Genius.
Yeah. Macaulay Culkin. Home Alone was John Hughes as well, so I had to bring in Macaulay Culkin.
Was it really?
But no, Breakfast Club, the cast, the writing, the what they get into. And you know, and just like I said with Dazed and Confused, it starts off silly, but if you watch through, as I know you're describing, like, it gets so heavy by the end, and it's so meaningful.
Yeah, it's totally... You know, it goes into it, not even the kids, but when Mr. Bender, I mean, thinking about how his little line where he's talking to the janitor about, you know, he was cool at one point and now none of the kids like him, you know, and it's so much stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's
well,
great.
And when they're in there, like when the kids are actually sitting together sharing, they're sort of bearing their weakest moments to each other. And I'll tell you what, I mean, each story has its own level of heartache, but the one story that always gets me the most is the one played by Emilio Estevez, the wrestler, when he starts talking about how he...
Win! You gotta win!
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, how he hurt that kid, and he hated himself. He hated himself for it. He talks about having... imagining what it would be like to be that kid and having to go home and explain to your parents what happened to you. That just... crushes me every time. And the acting, man, I'll tell you what, they deliver those lines. I believe every word they're saying, like it is their own personal stories.
Anthony Michael Hall's suicide story. Yeah. I mean, insane. Just insane.
It's such a good movie. Such a great story. I agree. Put it number one, and I'll never, ever argue that. Yeah. I'll never argue that.
I was listening to a podcast yesterday from one of my guys that I listened to, and he made a great point. Like, he's, you know, he works for a big media company, and he's like, people come to us all the time. Hey, I got the script there. Here, I got this, that, and the other. You know, I got a script. Any money? I got a script. Any money? And his point was, guys, take a step back and just try to make it yourself. I guess I don't know what the movie is. I'll have to look it up. There's some quasi horror film on YouTube now. It's only on YouTube, I believe. And it took a grand total to make $800.
Okay.
And they sold their camera for $900 and when it was over. So they made $100 right out the gate.
They're already in the black.
But now I guess it's like really pretty good film. And I'll have to get the name. But my reason I'm saying this is, like, you know, for $800, these guys, they got some decent actors and they were able to produce this film. And when you look at this movie, of course, the budget would have had to be more because of the names. But the whole film was just 99% was just in a library of a school. Yep. I mean, how hard that must have been a great budget, to be honest, other than actors, you know, salaries.
But right. No.
I don't know. It's inspiring that they made it such a great film with just, you know,
great
inside.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good story. It's just a good, it's well written, great story. And it's one of the best. You know, if we could keep talking about movies. Of course, we can. I mean, I've got a whole list of, like, for anywhere from Ferris Bueller to Dead Poets Society to The Karate Kid. But how about TV shows? Can you think of any coming of age, like, shows that you could define or would fall under the category? I've got one or two that definitely fall within it that I think were great.
Can I make one more point on the movies?
No, you can't. We're done.
Okay.
No, what's up? What's up? What's up?
Well, I just wanted to say, you know, sticking with John Hughes, you know, and almost the same cast, just another brilliant movie, but completely, you know, in a whole different atmosphere as far as tone. You know, John Hughes, Molly Ringwald, Anthony Michael Hall. Can you think of what I'm thinking of?
I would think you're talking like Pretty in Pink or something, or what?
16 Candles.
16 Candles.
And of course it does have, and it is a coming of age movie because she's in love with this jock and whatever, but my goodness, the freaking tone of that film, it's hilarious. I mean, it's one of the funniest movies. I still love it.
No.
You know, it seems like a girly movie.
No, not at all.
It's not.
No.
It's good for guys. And and also has a great message.
John Hughes nailed the coming of age time and time again, whether it was these we've talked about. Like I said, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, that was John Hughes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just...
St. Elmo's Fire, was that it?
St. Elmo's Fire, that I don't know if it was John Hughes or not. You could look that up. I'm sure someone in the audience, like they could let us know. But yeah, I mean, even stuff like The Karate Kid or Superbad, which is newer. I mean, it's all about like being a teenager, making mistakes. Some of it's more appropriate than others, but sometimes being a kid as a teenager, you know, life isn't always super appropriate. it's just part of the deal.
Why don't you hit me up? Why don't you hit me up these TV shows and see if you can get my juices flowing?
Sure.
Because I can't.
No, without a doubt. Well, I've got it. Well, there's one that jumped out to me right away, and that was The Wonder Years.
Of course.
That I would probably argue is probably the best coming of age TV show that I've watched. It just really captured. I obviously didn't grow up during the 60s, but it aired in the 80s, and I watched it, and I loved watching Kevin Arnold and his the things he went through with Winnie Cooper and Paul, and it was just a great show.
It kind of reminds me of, and I've only watched this a few times. I'm not going to act like I'm an expert, but the episodes I've watched, they're drop dead, just some of the funniest things ever. But it's the Goldbergs. You ever watched those?
I have. Show? I know it. I have not watched it.
Oh, my goodness. But it's totally the same thing. You know, it's mainly focuses on this one little boy. I think he wrote it. I mean, I think the guy grew up, wrote it about his family growing up.
Yeah.
And just his mom gushing all over him. He makes a mixtape for a girl he likes. In one episode, the mom finds it and thinks it was made for her. So she's all like, he told the girl he made her a mixtape, and the mom got a hold of it and thought he had made it, you know, she'd made it for him.
Right,
and,
right.
Because, you know, it's my little boy. He loves me so much.
Oh, God.
It's that kind of awkward stuff that's just hilarious.
Yeah, yeah. I never watched it, but Judd Apatow in his early days made a TV show called Freaks and Geeks that was sort of like a cult classic. People absolutely love it. There were some big actors that sort of got their launch out of that show. I think like Seth Rogen was in that show, and maybe even James Franco. But it's one that's on my radar. I haven't watched it, but that was kind of a big famous coming of age. Do you remember the show Saved by the Bell?
No, never heard of it.
Would you think that would fall under coming of age show? Now, it's super cheese.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't know if it ever dealt with... I mean, I don't remember enough of the episodes to know if it dealt with stuff.
Well, the same four kids did everything in the whole school, so.
Right.
All right, let's go back to some that you wish that we had talked about that you missed. Because I've got one that we definitely need to talk about.
No, go ahead. You do it.
Well, when I kind of broke down my notes, I broke it into like books, TV shows, movies. And of course, there's overlap because sometimes the best movies came from books, right? And in this case, that's the truth. Because if you can think of a movie that came from a book about a group of boys that were growing up, they didn't get along well with the rich kids in town, and
of course.
Every actor in the world.
I guess that's coming of age. That's probably top five movies of all time. It may be my favorite movie of all time.
It's absolutely coming of age. It's those kids growing up. I mean, it's The Outsiders.
Yeah.
The Outsider. What a story!
It was one of the greatest casts of all time.
Unquestionably. And the book is heartbreaking. The movie is heartbreaking. It's incredible.
Stay gold, Pony.
Yeah.
Stay gold. And if you watch, you can go to YouTube too and watch some of the people that tried out for it as well, like the auditions they have on YouTube. That's really cool to watch. Yeah, yeah. Trying to think. One of the Baldwins, not the Baldwin brothers, but Adam Baldwin. You know, I'm sure you know him. He was in My Bodyguard with. Who was Dallas Winston from Outsiders?
Oh, Matt Damon, Matt Dillon.
Matt Dillon. So Adam Baldwin was in that movie with him, and he tried it. Val Kilmer tried out, but yeah, just to see these guys like reading from the script, that's going to be like one of the greatest films of all time.
Yeah.
It's just so, so cool. It's, yeah, I've watched that movie 100 times.
Stay gold. At least. Stay gold, Pony Boy.
Stay gold, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dally.
Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise, Emilio Estevez, Patrick Steve. Swayze, Rob Lowe. And, yep. Yeah, just awesome. You know,
Rob Lowe, Emilio Estevez. Did you say that already?
Yep, yep, yep.
Leif Garrett, who was not a great actor.
Yeah.
He was a singer. Yeah. I had older sisters. They just love Leif Garrett.
And we're forgetting one. Ralph Macchio.
Ralph. Oh, was he on that?
Yeah, he was one of the main storylines.
Yeah. Him and C. Thomas Howell. Oh. We're also forgetting Diane Lane.
Oh, gosh. I had such a crush on Diane. Cherry Valens, man.
Cherry Valens, boy.
Yep.
And then one of the socias who was in the car that tried to make amends at the end. He was still kind of a jerk, but he tried to make amends at the end. He starred on another film with C. Thomas Howell, Patrick Swayze, and Emilio Estevez's brother.
Oh, Charlie Sheen?
Charlie Sheen.
Who was the actor?
I don't know. Darren was his, yeah, think of another movie. This wouldn't really be coming of age. C. Thomas Howell, Patrick Swayze, Charlie Sheen, what's her name? The girl from Dirty Dancing.
Jennifer Grey. Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about. Red Dawn. Yeah, they were the Wolverines, but yeah. Red Dawn. You know,
but the kid whose dad was the mayor, that kid was also in The Outsiders. The one they shot.
I know what you're talking about. Yep. Yep. Yep.
Dara.
Yeah, what a great movie that was too. That one, you know, it's interesting. You could probably make an argument that Red Dawn has elements of coming of age, but it doesn't jump out to me like some of the others do. The Outsiders to me is more coming of age than Red Dawn is.
Totally. No, that was just a good
movie. Oh, phenomenal.
I mean, it's a coming of age movie if you are being taken over by
the Russians.
Country. The Russians and yeah, the Cubans. That dude's name is Darren Dalton.
Darren Dalton. Interesting.
He's been in a lot of stuff. I think he's been in, wasn't he in Ghost? Wasn't he the bad guy in Ghost? I don't know.
Been a minute.
I'm going off script.
I don't know. That's okay. I do think it's hard sometimes. Coming of age movies can be tricky because sometimes it can be really hard to emulate adolescent emotions by the time you're an adult. You know what I mean? Like, you get into a different mindset when you're older, and sometimes it can be hard to remember what it was like to be, to be a kid. And, you know, and also sometimes I think what's difficult with a coming of age story is that we tend to trivialize the emotions and the lives of teens because we think, oh, what they're going through, like, it's nothing. They don't know what it's really like to be, you know, desperate or lonely or heartbroken. But the reality is when you are a teenager, that is your experience, and what you're experiencing, you know, means something to you. And so I think it can be hard sometimes to capture that. And I think these movies that we're talking about, the ones that stand out to us and stand the test of time, they're the ones that manage to kind of capture that, not trivialize it. And they really kind of grab onto those feelings. And I think that's why I go back and rewatch them, because I like to sometimes go back to those feelings.
I got to be completely honest. Now, when you said coming of age films, and I said the first thing I thought of was Stand By Me, that was definitely it. But there was also one that I didn't actually see. My parents would never let me see. And I'm pretty sure there was a lot of sexual content, if I remember right. But, you know, coming of age, when you said that, this has got to be the second thing I thought of, because I loved her as well, was Brooke Shields in Blue Lagoon.
I never saw it.
I didn't either. Like I said, I know it's really risky for back in the day, but I remember she was in it, and so that was pretty awesome.
Well, like,
she was not an ugly person.
No, she was not. Well, if you remember the movie The Graduate with Dustin Hoffman, now that's a little older, But that would be sort of a classic coming of age story. I never really loved it the way that I guess you're supposed to. I've always, I don't know, it wasn't quite my thing. But definitely a coming of age story that's, you know, whatever, been around for a long time.
Oh my goodness.
The list goes on and on.
I love it. I got some trivia for you.
All right, trivia time. Let's do it.
Okay, some super basic questions coming of age. You guys have already been thinking about it, so this will be easy. Super easy for you, Jim. How about a movie that features a young boy who wishes to be an older version of himself?
Big. Oh, yeah.
Tommy Hanks in
Big. I can't believe I never thought of Big. It's one of my favorites of all time and absolutely a coming of age story.
There you go.
You know, Big, as a side note, as a child, was the first movie I ever went to alone with friends in the theater.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
It was like I had my own coming of age moment going to see that coming of age story.
Wow.
Yeah.
That blows your mind. 1989, Robin Williams, English teacher.
Oh, I had this on my
inspiring
list.
Inspiring his students to seize the day.
Dead Poets Society.
Nice. Nice.
Yep. Great movie.
Okay, one quick last one. This is something I was only reminded of recently when I heard someone saying the phrase over and over again. I had to go back and look. So, well, first of all, we'll go through the movie. How about Lindsay Lohan trying to navigate some not friendly people in her high school?
Mean Girls.
In that movie, there's one of the girls who's trying to make a saying become a saying. Do you remember what this was called? Because it was discussed a few times, and now it's creeped in to society, even to this day. This movie was made, 2004? So 20 years later, people still say this.
You know what? I believe I was just having a conversation about this very fact, yet it's escaping me. What was the phrase?
When you're trying to make fetch happen.
Make what happen?
Fetch. F-E-T-C-H.
No, I didn't know. I have not heard this.
She wanted fetch to be the new cool word. It's fetch. She kept trying to use
it.
And it was like, I can't remember the name of the girl, but it was like, Vicky, stop trying to make fetch happen.
That is pretty funny.
But it's still, it can be used when you just say something over and over again. You know, I've heard it come up a lot recently in politics. with our crazy situation where so-and-so is trying to make fetch happen. Like they're, you know, just coming up with something and just saying this. You know, even though it's not true or whatever, but, you know, if you say it enough times, people might catch
up. Yeah. So. I get you. Come on, any other?
I don't know.
You're done with it? Is that it? That's the end?
All right, here we go. Super fast. We'll call this machine gun trivia. I give you the quote, you give me the movie. Ready?
Go.
This is like a movie I guarantee you've never seen. Merry Christmas, you filthy animal.
Macaulay Culkin starring in
Home Alone. By the way, we have a Macaulay Culkin episode. Oh, I'm just kidding. Okay. So you're telling me there's a chance.
That's Dumb and Dumber. Not a coming of age story, but yes.
I'm a vegetarian, but I eat animals.
I don't know. Is that Animal House? No. Where is that?
I'm trying to think of another big one. I'm a merman, Dad. God. I'm a merman.
That's Zoolander.
I think I got the black lung, Pa.
Yeah.
Nobody makes me bleed my own blood.
Is that Dodgeball?
The Big Lebowski.
That's Big Lebowski?
That's what it says. I don't know. I have to.
Nobody makes me bleed my own blood.
Because that seems like the dude from Zoolander, right?
It's channeling the Big Lebowski.
It's just a flesh wound.
That's the Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Two more.
Dos Mas.
I'm kind of a big deal.
That's Ron Burgundy in the Anchorman.
Funny how just that one little... I'm sure that's been said other places.
Nope, that doesn't matter.
Here's one that they got wrong, but it's funny. I'm going to say it anyway because I know the real one. Fat guy in a little coat.
That's... is that Tommy Boy or Black Sheep?
Tommy Boy. But According to AI, that's Austin Powers, International
Man. No, that's Tommy Boy. That's Chris Farley, man. Making fun of David Spade.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, and then he tears his coat
in half.
That's
great. Absolutely great.
Good stuff, man. Fun. It was good to get back together with you, man. Hope we do this more and have more episodes for the peeps.
And if any of our listeners have a topic they'd like to see us deep dive in coming episodes, where can they get a hold of us?
Great question, Jim. There's a couple ways. They can email us at feedback@talkthepodcast.com or talkthepodcastmail@gmail.com.
Right.
You can also go to talkthepodcast.com and just peruse the website. You can find us on YouTube. And yeah, you're listening to us, so you already found us on whatever you listen
wherever
to.
Wherever they get their podcast fix, right?
Yeah. So
awesome.
So you don't even get that information right now because you already know how to do it.
They already know how to do it. Speaking of knowing how to do it, I think we've done it.
We've done it in the can. Great episode. A lot of fun. Good subject, Jim. We'll get together soon.
Absolutely. Hey, man, for Talk the Podcast, I am Jim.
I'm Todd.
And we'll catch you next time.